We need to talk about the great financial market shift of November 2016. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. It has become the biggest sell-off in the bond market in more than a quarter century. Just before the presidential election, the benchmark for interest rates, the yield on the U.S. government's 10-year note, was down at 1.8%. This morning, it's up at 2.29%. In the world of bonds, this is a huge shift, and we're seeing government bonds going down and yields going up all around the world. Some of this is an expectation of increased inflation with possible spending in a Trump administration supported by a Republican Congress. But let's get some perspective from Christopher Lowe, the chief economist whose office adjoins the bond trading room at FTN Financial in New York.
What happened over the last 5 years or so with a gridlocked Congress, with a president who achieved his biggest goals early in his administration and was sort of tinkering around the edges toward the end, with a central bank that had run out of ideas, the bond market became increasingly complacent that there really aren't any risks. Inflation is stuck in a low mode and will be there forever. The deficit is under control and sort of going sideways, not rising. And then what was supposed to happen, everybody thought, Hillary Clinton would take over in the White House.
And of course, it's not Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. The return on real bonds here in the U.S. is the highest versus Germany since the Berlin Wall fell.
Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial in New York on one of the big capital B economic issues of our time. Chris, thank you.
You're welcome, David. Thank you.
An interesting story now about what the gig economy is doing to holiday shopping before parcel delivery companies and retail warehouses that get so busy this time of year just hired on a lot of temps. But what if those potential hires are already driving for Uber and the like? Mitchell Hartman reports from the Marketplace desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting.
Amy Glazer supervises hiring during the holidays at Adecco Staffing in the Louisville, Kentucky area, which is a hub for online sales and delivery companies.
We are seeing a shortage of workers.
And for some workers, driving for Uber or doing some other freelance gig looks better than working nights and weekends in a warehouse or at the mall.
Those that are taking on these gig jobs are used to being able to kind of pick their own schedule. So employers are offering attractive shift times.
But that could still be a hard sell for someone like Jared Hines. He's 39 with two kids, drives for Uber and Lyft in Portland, and makes good money.
Between $18 and $30 an hour.
In the past, he's loaded trucks for UPS around Christmas, but likes this much better.
You know, if I really need a little bit more money, I'll work a little bit more.
Right.
Or our four-year-old son just started preschool in the middle of the day, so being able to be flexible around that is a pretty big deal.
The only downside, he says, keeping his Dodge Caravan clean with two little kids sharing the back seat. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
It is a divided country, but not on every issue. On Election Day, people in four states voted to raise the minimum wage. The pay hikes all won by wide margins, meaning the issue drew support from both Trump and Clinton voters. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports on where things stand for minimum wage policy in America and what the future looks like for low-income Americans.
Low-wage workers in Arizona, Colorado, Maine, and Washington state will get raises, gradually rising to $12 by 2020 and $13.50 in Washington. That puts them well ahead of the current federal minimum of $7.25 an hour, the ceiling for 2.6 million people. Satyam Pandey is an economist at S&P Global.
These folks who are earning at that rate cannot get by that easily. It's not a good standard of life at that wage rate.
There are various ways to calculate this, but his math says a federal minimum wage that keeps up with inflation should be about $11. Republican congressional leaders have shown little interest in going there. A common argument is that'll increase business expenses, forcing them to lay people off. Economist Aaron Dubay is one of the researchers who did side-by-side comparisons of states with different minimum wages.
What we found is that there's very little impact when it came to jobs.
It's not clear why businesses dealing with a wage hike didn't seem to cut jobs overall. There's evidence workers who got raises were less likely to quit, reducing turnover costs. They may have worked harder in a way that increased profits, and the businesses could have raised prices.
Clearly, there will come a point where the minimum wage increases may start to impact employment more than it has in the past. In my experience, and based on my reading of the literature, we're not there yet.
There's another school of thought which says minimum wage hikes are the wrong tool to help low-income Americans because some of the benefits go to other folks. Think middle-class teens and part-time jobs. American Enterprise Institute labor economist Michael Strain favors a different approach.
So if your goal is to help the working poor, if your goal is to lift people out of poverty, there's a really good option that we can turn to, which is expanding the earned income tax credit.
There's bipartisan interest in doing just that, so we may hear more about the tax credit next year. And keep in mind, as the economy has strengthened, a smaller share of Americans are working at the minimum wage. That means companies are feeling the heat and raising pay to keep workers. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
And the executive chairman of Ford has told the president-elect of the United States that Ford will not, in the end, move production of the Lincoln MKC sport utility vehicle from Kentucky to Mexico. Donald Trump tweeted that news last night, but the plant was never in danger of shutting down. Ford had wanted the room to expand production in Kentucky of the more popular Ford Escape. The MKC is the car that actor Matthew McConaughey tries to make look all cool in the ads that attracted all the mockery. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.